Name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. You know, there are a lot of things that Christians disagree on. You know, we disagree about things like theology, ethics, the color of the carpet, you name it. But there are some things that I think all Christians can agree on. I think a few of these things are things like, we can all agree that God is great. We can all agree that God loves us. And we can all agree that we love God. I think there's pretty much everybody in here is on board with those statements. And while we might agree on those things, they don't fundamentally answer a certain question. And that question is, who is God? Now, in the grand and infinite scale of who God is, we really know very, very little about God. I mean, how can you possibly even dip into what is the vastness of infinity? But we do have a few places where we can learn about God. God is revealed to us in Scripture, and we give a basic affirmation of what we believe about God when we say the creeds. Now, these are sort of what we say, everything necessary that we need to know. But they are not a sum total of everything there is to know or everything we will know. Today is one of the major feasts of the church. It's Trinity Sunday. My preaching professor in seminary referred to today as National Bad Sermon Sunday. Well, hopefully I won't disappoint. Well, the problem is, we often get stuck in a quagmire of trying to explain that which is unexplainable. And then I'm reminded of the line Jesus gave us in today's gospel where he said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. In other words, God will reveal God's self when we need God to be revealed to us, and just hold on till then. But this still gets me back to this fundamental question, who God is. This reading from Proverbs, which is quite a lovely reading, tells us a lot about God. Now, in this reading, it personifies wisdom. It says, does not wisdom call? And does not understanding raise her voice? All right, wait, wisdom sounds like a person. Who is this talking about? Well, wisdom is a common theme in the Hebrew Bible. In Christian tradition, the word for wisdom in Greek is Sophia. And this is often personified. Now, you might think, well, I know somebody who's named Sophia, or I may have met somebody named Sophia. It's a woman's name. And interestingly, though, it's personified as the second person of the Trinity. So we're talking about Jesus here. What's interesting is you think about Jesus being personified in Sophia, this woman's name, and in medieval iconography, you'll even find sometimes Christ, the figure of Christ, is drawn as a woman or portrayed as a woman, the Sophia figure. And there's this cathedral, or used to be a cathedral, in what is now Istanbul, which used to be the center of all of Eastern Christianity, called Hagia Sophia, the Holy Sophia, Holy Wisdom. So there's a common theme associated with Jesus. Now, further down in the reading, about halfway down, Proverbs says, ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. And it tells us that God has been the same always since the beginning. What this means is that God is stable and God is reliable, that rock that we can cling to. But I'm going to give a caveat here. It does not always mean that God is consistent. You know, from one day to another, God can tell us something, and the next day we're in a different place, right? And so God needs to speak to us in a different way. I'll give you an example. Several years ago, I decided for Lent, I felt very compelled that I was going to give up biting my nails. You can see how well that's worked. Well, hey, you know what? For 46 days, yes, it's actually 46 days. I hate to break it to you. For 46 days, I did not bite my nails. And then Easter morning, oh. Well, the next year I thought, you know, that worked so well for me last year. I'm going to try it again. This year for Lent, I'm going to give up biting my nails. And it lasted all of, oh, I don't know, 3 hours. So where we are one day is not where God calls us the next. And Scripture gives us many different examples, you know, of how this happens, how different cases of where God calls us to different things at different times. Isaiah 2:4 is a fairly well-known passage. It's a really beautiful passage. It gets quoted quite often in works of peacemaking. Isaiah 2:4, "They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks." What a wonderful verse. This passage of peace in these good times to come. But then, Joel 3:10, "Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears." Let's see what happens here. In one case, we've got one thing. In the next, we've got another. What this tells us is that context matters. And this is why I love the idea of God being personified in wisdom. Because many times we think there is going to be a single solution to every problem. I'm just going to open my Bible, point, and there's the answer. And it's going to be the same every time. But that's not how God works. It's not how our lives work. You know, but we think, hey, that's the easy answer, right? Why worry about whether it's a round peg if the square, or round hole if the square peg still fits into it? You have to hammer it a little bit to get it to go in, but it'll work. I'll make it work. But it doesn't work that way. And this is part of what it means to have a living God, a God who lives through us and in us and around us. And this is what it means to have a God who helps us to discern what is right, right now. But now you might think, does this mean that God waffles? Well, no, that's not what it means. It means that God is wise. God is still stable and reliable in many, many things, including and especially wisdom. Further down in this passage from Proverbs, it says, "And I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always." You got to love this. God rejoicing before God. This tells us that God is about relationship. That's a wonderful line about how God by nature is love and relationship. It's really what God is about. Hey, Trinity Sunday, three persons, one God. Each one of these persons of the Trinity living in relationship. That's God's own nature. God's nature is relational, and it cannot be separated from who God is. So now if we jump back closer to the beginning of this passage, we have this call, where Christ says, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live." And so here's what God is doing. God is now calling us into relation. God is inviting us into God's own nature. Now, if you look through the entirety of Scripture and Christian history, you will see a common pattern. You will see a series of where God will set things up, make things right, things are good, and then people come along. And people do what people do, and people mess things up. You know, everybody looks at the Old Testament and says, "Wow, God sure is angry." Well, yeah, because God set everything up and we messed it up. So what does God do? God comes back in, God fixes things, sets things right, and then calls us back into relationship. Now, another thing we know, Genesis tells us we were all created in God's image. And so part of God's image is this thing about relationship. And it tells us that we are also relational beings. And if you look throughout Scripture at every commandment, every covenant, even in the church, every sacrament, they are really about being in right relationship, both with God and with one another. All the Scripture tells us, everything in church tradition is about being called to love God and to honor one another. So that's what we do. Every week we come together with God and one another. That's what we're doing here right now in worship. We're practicing these relationships. And then we're preparing ourselves to continue this practice of relationships out in the world in our week. That's what it is to practice our faith. Now, this very last line we heard in Proverbs says that wisdom is rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the human race. And so the last thing that we can say about God is that God is about joy. Now, despite all of our problems, all of our shortcomings, our failings, our sins, the crazy thing is God still loves us. We might think we messed up. We might think there's no hope. But God says, nope, I'm not going to give up on you yet. Even the worst of us, God says, I'm not giving up on us. Now, we as people, we tend to give up pretty quickly, right? We say, all right, that person I'm done with. But that's not what God does. God says, no matter where you are, there is hope for you yet. When we talk about who God is, we are ultimately talking about these things. We know that God is wisdom. God is creation. God is relationship. And God is joy. Now, yes, there is depth and nuance beyond our ability to understand. There are things that we'll learn over time. But these are some really basic things that we can grab onto. Yes, there are many things to understand about God, but these basic things we can remember. And these are the things that then drive our relationship with God. Amen.